Today's Survivor Podcast is sponsored by True Car. You know, finding clarity on the price of a new car can be harder than the Angkor tribe trying to win immunity. That's where True Car and the True Car mobile app come in, because they are going to help you find out exactly where you could get the best deal on a brand new car. You could pick out all the features you want in your new car and then punch them into True Car and the True Car mobile app. And you can see what other people are paying for the same exact car down to the zip code. People are saving over $3,000 off MSRP without any hassles or headaches just by using True Car. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the True Car certified dealer network, and there's over 10,000 dealers in the dealer network. You'll work directly with a True Car certified dealer when you visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car mobile app and start saving. True Car, never overpay. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, back to talk about why the latest survivor, Jeff Varner, unfortunately lost the game. And here with me to talk through his rules of Survivor and trying to figure out what exactly went wrong for Jeff Varner, here is the great David Bloomberg. David, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. I'm, a little taken aback by the Mets winning too. But I'll get through it somehow.
Yeah, we don't need to devolve into baseball talk too much. Yeah, that I've kind of felt good about game one going into it. You know, we had spoken last week, and I think it was before the Mets had even lost game four, where that was like, now I really have a bad feeling going into game five. But then coming into the weekend, I kind of felt like just on adrenaline, they were going to win game one. But then game two, I was surprised that they got that one. So we'll see. We'll see. It's baseball. Anything can happen.
That's right. That's right. I will say another prediction came true. You asked what's going to happen this time, this week. You know, who's going to be where? And I think I said that it was more likely that the Cubs and Mets would be facing each other than Jeff Varner would still be in the game.
Yes. So good job on that call. Yeah.
I'd rather not talk about baseball right now. Hopefully we'll have better news right around Survivor time. So I think we should answer the question of why Jeff lost.
Why did Jeff Varner lose the game? Because if people were starting to feel good about Jeff Varner, you know, we sort of said going into this week, not feeling good about Jeff Varner. But up until this tribe swap, I think people were saying like, oh, is this a little bit of a winner's edit here for Varner?
Yeah, and I know that some people had asked you, and I think it was one of the voicemail shows, you know, does being real active on Twitter mean that they go out early or that they hang around forever? And you said, could be either.
Could be either.
And that's what we saw, I think, with Varner, is he was the early person. And I think, my prediction is that some of the people who are also very active are going to be the much later.
Yeah. There's really three things where it's like, you know, you could be active on Twitter because you are going to try to enjoy your short time in the sun. You could be active in Twitter because you're Tony and you're just like somebody who can't get enough, or you could just sort of like slow play the whole thing and then totally throw us off.
So, yeah, I didn't think he really necessarily had a winner's edit. I thought he had a very fun edit.
Fun edit. All right. Well, let's get into this. Of course, that David has a longstanding system of what the survivors should have learned by a certain point or going into this season. They have rules. They can ignore them if they would like, but then they end up losing the game that much quicker. Of course, you can see the full listing of this at robisthewebsite.com/survivor rules and hear David and I talk at length about all of them. So let's get into this. And why don't we start at the top?
Well, yeah, where else would we start, right? I think there's no doubt in anyone's mind that Jeff knew the primary rule of Survivor. He went beyond what I think anyone else has done in terms of the usual plotting and scheming, because he used pregame alliances that were obviously not available to most players on other seasons, that is. So, you know, we know the story. He approached Shane, Terry, Wigglesworth. They created what was supposed to be a strong foursome. They planned who they would target early on, but there were problems. And, you know, the first was obviously that Shane didn't make it in. When 25% of your alliance doesn't even make it to the game, that causes an issue. The second was that Terry and Kelly weren't playing the game. They were not following this all-important rule, and that is according to Jeff himself. It was frustrating him. He came in, he said in interviews, wanting to be the old schooler who played the new school game. And then you had Terry and Wigglesworth, who just wanted to work. You know, they wanted to build a shelter and things like that. And that wasn't the game that he was looking to play. So that was the next problem. Then he said Vetus tried to step in and, you know, as part of sort of an associated portion of the pregame alliance. And he was worried he was trying to somewhat take his place. So that's why he jumped alliances to join Spencer and Shireen, get rid of Vetus. And as he said, you know, wake up Terry and Kelly so he could go back to them again and go back to targeting Spencer. It was his way to jumpstart them. So, you know, all of this was going through his mind in just the first 3 days. So he was definitely plotting and scheming up a storm.
Okay. So you feel like that he is good on this one. No mistakes here.
Right, right. I mean, even some of the specific items that I, you know, discuss in the long form of these rules, I say players should make alliances from the very beginning. So normally that means when you hit the beach. In his case, he took it as literally as possible.
As the vote started.
Yeah. Even before the vote started, yeah. I think. And he also made side alliances. He had one with Wentworth that didn't come to fruition because it didn't need to, or rather, it didn't need to for her. For him, he didn't last long enough. He had one with Abby Maria for, you know, what that was worth, using her as a shield. And he worked on these. He worked with Terry to make sure Abby Maria would flip with him and against the beach people, you know, doing that tag team when Terry was being nice to her. He even, I think, managed to hang around for an extra 3 days from when he should have been gone the previous week because he riled up PG, as we discussed last week, to the point that she became more of a target than Jeff was. And, you know, those 3 days could have turned into much more if the whole tribe hadn't completely fallen apart at the immunity challenge or if it had been a different immunity challenge.
Okay. So Jeff Varner is good at scheming and plotting. This much we have determined through 2 seasons of watching him.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So then that brings up the question of why couldn't he get the job done when it came time to convince them one more time?
All right. Well, let's get into rule number 2, which is, of course, don't scheme and plot too much. Did Jeff Varner scheme and plot too much, David?
Yes.
Okay.
And that answers the question that I had just asked. Why couldn't he get the job done? And
where did he do it too much?
Well, if you wouldn't mind, I want to go off on a little bit of a tangent first.
You may.
Okay. And that tangent is to discuss this other question that has come up a lot, which is why didn't the tribe vote out Abby Maria? Because that question came up on Twitter. It came up on Facebook. It came up on, I think, some of your other podcasts. So it's a question that I brought up at the beginning of last week's podcast with a listener who was Scott Long, by the way, who had wondered.
Not Scott Long from Big Brother, right?
No, Scott Long from Anti Up Magazine.
Okay, good.
He wondered why they would ever keep the unpredictable person. And I think the answer in this particular case is that as unpredictable as she is, she's less of a risk than Jeff because he's switched alliances just as much as she has. Mm-hmm. She can be seen as unpredictable, as irrational, and crazy. But Jeff can be seen as unpredictable, rational, and crazy like a fox. And I'd say the latter is more dangerous. He was seen by Savage and Tasha as slippery and more likely to stab them in the back. So why not vote out Abby Maria? Well, that's a possible reason right there for them. And, you know, speaking of Abby Maria, I just called her irrational. And a lot of us have said that about her. But is she? Or is she being supremely rational and just saving herself? Because even Jeff said in his exit interviews that she did what she believed was best for herself. She could go with Tasha and Savage, who offered her a new alliance without old baggage, or with PG and Wu, who had fought with her and tried to vote her out. So can we really blame her for making the choice that she made? you know, if we want to look at it a little closer, we can say, well, she maybe should have looked to the distant future and wondering where she stands when Savage and Tasha, you know, rejoin their original alliance, because I think she's toast at that point. But for now, if all you're trying to do is get an extra 3, 6, 9 days, did she make the right decision?
Well, whether or not she did make the right decision in terms of Abby Maria, and I appreciate the defense of Abby Maria to a degree, if we're talking about did Jeff Varner scheme and plot too much, I don't know if we should necessarily look at it from the perspective of, you know, was it the smart thing to do? I think we need to just bring it back to, did Jeff Varner do something wrong?
Right. And that's where it links in, because, okay, they know, Savage and Tasha know that Varner is a schemer and a plotter. So what if they had decided, okay, we want to get rid of Abby Maria, and they go to Varner and they tell him, what was he going to do? Was he going to go along with it? Or was he likely to go back to Abby and say, oh my God, I can't believe what they're doing to you, and flip her back? Because I think that's what he would have done.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You can't trust Varner to go along with you and flip the vote on Abby. So you almost either have to take a risk and just tell Wu, which, you know, relying on Wu for anything, I don't think that's the best idea. Or you go the easier path, which is just go along with Abby Maria. And I know, you know, easier path and Abby Maria are not often used in the same sentence, but even as unpredictable as she may seem, Tasha seems to know how to handle her. And so if she thinks she can control her, she can't control Varner. And it's because Varner did too much plotting and scheming. He was therefore the preferable target for Tasha and Savage to go after. And that's where it all comes back to bite him.
So at what point do we say he schemed and plotted too much? Can we dive in and say, okay, this was good, but this was too much? Was it at the point where he had the quote unquote meltdown? Is that the point in which he was too much of a schemer, or did his reputation precede him?
I think it's a combination of things. I think
it sounded like from his exit interviews that Tasha did not trust him under any circumstances, even before this other stuff happened.
Right. And we don't really know why, because, I mean, even in the interviews that were done before the game started, he was getting a bad vibe off of Tasha, but maybe he gave a bad vibe to her. We don't know what caused that, or if she heard something about him before the game even started. I can't imagine what she would have heard from, you know, when he played the game 15 years ago, but who knows? Maybe she heard from someone that he was making pregame alliances with them. So it's possible his scheming and plotting too much started even before the game began.
Yeah.
Depending on what she heard. And unfortunately, at this point, we don't know that. What we do know is, yes, his reputation did get there ahead of him, and she just felt she could not trust him. So, you know, given the choice of the people who were available, I think they had to vote out Varner.
Okay.
For, you know, in those terms. But it does bring up another question, which, you know, I've heard asked a couple times: should he have forced a tie in the previous vote? In other words, he had done some, you know, plotting and scheming to throw the vote over to PG, but should he have just forced a tie? And, you know, in retrospect, we can always say, well, yes, obviously it couldn't have been any worse for him. But at the time, was it worth a 25% chance of being voted off when you never know what the next 3 days brings you? If there had been an immunity challenge that didn't involve moving around huge, heavy objects in 100 degree plus weather, you know, would they have had a chance? History doesn't look good on it, you know, for them, recent history, but maybe they were doing okay if it was just the blindfolded portion of the challenge. It was the moving around the puzzle pieces that really killed them. So, you know, to answer that question that I've seen asked, I don't think he should have forced a tie. I think he was right to do what he did, but I still don't know any way, once he got to this point, don't see how he could have avoided being targeted for scheming and plotting too much.
I don't fault him on the tie break thing. You never know what's going to happen from week to week, where you could end up going on an immunity run. And while that seemed unlikely, I think that stranger things have happened. They could reorganize the tribe. Somebody could get injured. You know, there's so many different things that could happen. So I don't necessarily fault him in this format. I think there's a time and place to go to Rocks where I think that, you know, where you're at Final Six, where you can sort of see the light at the end of the tunnel and know exactly how it's going to break down. But there's so many wild cards at this point in the game to draw Rocks on day 10.
Right, right.
Or whatever day it was, day 8, I think even.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and that's, you know, I've seen that question asked a lot. So that's why I wanted to at least bring it up here.
Anything else in rule number 2?
No, I think we've spent plenty of time on that rule, and we can move on to the third.
Which is be flexible. Was Jeff Varner flexible enough?
I'd say he was plenty flexible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've already discussed how he had alliances and side alliances, and he was completely okay with flipping on his ally if it meant another 3 days for him. So I really don't have much more to discuss in that regard. I think he did fine in the third rule.
Yeah. I mean, he came into the game with a pregame alliance and voted against them at the first vote.
Right.
I think he was flexible.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
The fourth rule that you have set out here is don't let your emotions control you. Did Jeff let his emotions control him?
Not in the ways that we would normally associate with this rule. So he didn't allow his friendships to get in the way of any votes. He didn't allow anger to rule his emotions. But I think the one thing he did do was perhaps he allowed his exuberance at playing the game to run away with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that exuberance was one of the things that made him fun to watch. And so as a viewer, I wouldn't have wanted him to bottle it up. But and as a matter of fact, that exuberance may get him invited back to third time's the charm. But for the sake of this game, he even acknowledged in interviews that his excitement just overflowed out of him. It caused him to play in a way that perhaps was not best suited for sticking around a long time. And I'd say it's hard to criticize someone for being that excited to be in the game, especially, you know, we've seen people who were not that excited to be in the game. But I do think it affected his playing.
Do you feel like that is this part of don't let your emotions control you? Or maybe is it be flexible? The idea of trying to send a message back to the people from Takeo, including that pregame alliance with Kelly and or his previous relationship with Kimmy. Did that hurt him by either being emotional about wanting to stick with them, or was that a lack of flexibility?
I don't know what that was. I think that was not thinking straight is what that was.
What column do you put that in?
Oof, probably a little bit of both. He was trying to get information back to his original alliance, which I think is good, but he did it in a way that was obvious to the people around him. And he should have found some other way or opportunity to whisper that without mouthing it across the playing field after everything was over. And so I think it was probably, if anything, scheming and plotting too much.
Then let's talk about rule number 5, which is pretend to be nice, play the social game, keep your politics and controversial beliefs to yourself. Did Jeff do a good job here?
I'd say everything we saw suggests that even as excited as he was, he was also mostly fun to be around,
mm-hmm.
Unless maybe you're Tasha from some of the things he said. You know, and certainly that's what we saw on our TV sets. I don't think we've seen anyone say a bad word about him, again, except Tasha calling him a rat. But there was his greatest challenge, Tasha, because he said he tried to pretend to be nice to her. And that despite having a bad vibe off of her. But she wouldn't give him the time of day. In his own words, you know, quote, she's a bitch. She's just hateful and closed off, end quote. And I know he's taken a little flack for being so open with his opinion about her. But whatever happened in that game, the two of them could not get along. And he said that, you know, the more he tried to be nice to her, the worse she got to him. So I don't know what more he could have done, if anything. It goes back to kind of the conversation we were having a few minutes ago, which is we don't know why she didn't like him.
But there has to be a reason. I mean, we can't just say that Tasha is crazy and for something that has nothing to do with Jeff Varner, Tasha has an ex-boyfriend named Jeff, and that's why she has something against guys named Jeff, except for Jeff Probst. You know, there's something that he had to have done something whether it was that he's pre-gaming and that got back to her and she doesn't like that. There's something about him that she has to not like.
Right. And we may not find out what it is until, you know, you interview her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could simply be something, if we ignore the pregame stuff, it could simply be that she knew she was going to vote him off. She knew she was going to target him because he was too slippery and she didn't want to become friends with him. You know, she just wanted to put out her hand and put a stop to that so that she would not be tempted to, you know, give in to whatever charms he may have.
Seems like there's a story here.
There's definitely a story here. And unfortunately, we just don't have all the pieces, and Tasha probably isn't allowed to talk about it yet.
That's going to be a fun interview when we get there.
Yes, yes. So mark that in your notes for whenever you talk to her.
Yes, and if it's a ways down the way, I hope people don't let me forget about that.
Right, right.
It's a good one. It's a good one to come back to. All right, what about rule 6, don't be too much of a threat? Was Jeff a big threat coming into this game?
I think it's a slightly different question at this point, which is, who is the bigger threat right now? Was it Jeff, Wu, or Abby Maria? And I think you know what I'm about to say, which is we can quickly dispense with Wu because he's a threat to nobody. So that leaves us with two.
I
mean, Abby
it's
Maria
easy
and
to
Jeff.
Say that, but this is a guy who could have won the game.
Yeah, and he didn't. That's exactly why I'm saying that.
But you can't count on him not being a threat that he's going to make the same mistake. There is no Tony here.
Yeah, but come on, man.
That's what Wu wants you to think.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's been setting us up for the long con.
It's just that kind of thinking that's going to make him into a threat. The more people disregard him, the stronger a threat he is.
Yeah, but then he'll make the wrong decision at the end anyway.
No, you can't count on that. It was Tony that made him make the wrong decision. It's not like that he's always going to do the wrong thing.
Well, I haven't seen him do a whole lot of the right thing yet.
Yeah.
He's going to have to prove it. I mean, you know, that was one thing, you know, another one of the things Varner said was Wu still doesn't get the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've seen nothing to indicate that he does. I mean, he fought to save himself after, frankly, they'd already made up their mind, I think, but he fought to save himself. But other than that, you know, we have Wu blindside face for a reason.
I'm not saying that Wu is a great player. I just think it's dangerous when you start to say like, well, he can never win. You know, he'll do something stupid along the way. And I just don't think you can make those assumptions. It's like sort of like, oh, this player, like, oh, like, well, he's a choker. He'll choke at that point. And it's like, oh, and then all of a sudden, like, he doesn't. Like, oh, okay.
Well, right. And, you know, we can go all the way back to Sandra saying, Russell's going to bring me along because he doesn't think I can get any votes. But I don't know about that.
Yeah. Great quote.
You know, and I don't think you should bring Wu to the end. But I just don't think he's a strategic threat in any real sense of the word.
Whoa, he's not going Dave, to... I thought we were cool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he can be loyal, you know, all he wants. And I'm sure he will be, especially to Tasha.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get back into their core alliance, he's gone.
So in terms of Jeff being a threat, here's the thing, though. Coming into this game, I felt like nobody was worried about Jeff. I felt like everybody loved Jeff coming into the game. Did he make himself into too much of a threat by scheming and plotting too much?
Yes, I think that's exactly it. He, especially in this situation, I mean, if there had been a merge or a different tribal mix-up, then not so much. But in this situation, when you're comparing him and Abby Maria, you know, I already went over a lot of that, and they already believe they have Abby Maria under their control. So when it comes to the two decision makers, Tasha and Savage, he is the remaining threat that they have to get rid of.
He is the threat. He is the danger.
Yes.
It's Jeff Varner. So rule 7 is vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Did they follow suit here at Anchor?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, at least in the Tasha and Savage mind, there's still time when you vote out the weak, the people who will hurt you in challenges. Now, you know, Jeff tried to argue that it may be time for another swap or a merge, but Wu countered that they don't know that. Wu is right. So, you know, mark that down in your calendars, everybody. They really don't know that. But, you know, Jeff's injury, from what we've later found out, was apparently worse than we saw on TV.
Right.
And even Abby Maria told him that was the reason she was going to vote against him. So if you want to keep that tribe strong, if you don't want to dwindle all the way down as far as the producers will let it go, you got to at least try to win one challenge. And there is no way Varner was going to be able to help them do that. You know, between the fact that he already was never a challenge beast and his toe, you have to vote out the weak in that case.
Yeah, he was probably done anyway going into this vote. But the fact that he could not walk after getting that block dropped on his foot, I mean, that was the nail in the coffin.
Right. They were ready to vote for him at the previous tribal council if PG hadn't changed it. So, yeah, this wasn't the reason that they were going to for sure, but it was the final straw.
Okay. So for Jeff, ultimately, if we look at the appendix, do whatever it takes to get idols. We should presume he was out there looking for the idols, or is that dangerous to think that way?
We saw no hint of any of them doing it, but probably it's because none of them accomplished it. I would hope that he was out there doing it, but they were so worn out and that terrain at that tribe was so terrible that, you know, maybe he really wasn't.
Okay.
It's hard to say.
Okay, David, we've gone through the rules. What's your final verdict on this?
Well, Jeff did a lot of good scheming and plotting, but when he ended up on the Anchor tribe, it turned out to be just too much of a good thing for his own good. Savage and Tasha couldn't trust him, and I'd say they were right not to. Then his injury and weakness of challenges contributed, but when it comes right down to it, it was his slippery gameplay that came back to bite him, and I'd say that is why Jeff lost.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think it's really that they had no other choice at the point where he drops the thing on his foot. You know, that's really he was done for. It did seem like he put up one hell of a fight, and it almost like you would love to have seen if he didn't get that block dropped on his foot, if he could have wriggled his way out of it and got them to vote out Wu, because it did feel like to me that they were at least talking about it. It seemed like it was going either way.
Yeah, I think that was the edit playing with you, and I know you admitted that you kind of fell for it.
Yeah, I am a sucker for the edit. I mean, I do think that, you know, if Andrew and Tasha and Wu are doing, if they're in unison, I mean, there's nothing that Jeff and Abby Maria are going to do. So it's probably seems like he's done for no matter what, but he did put up one hell of a fight.
Yeah, he did. I just think that this was one of those situations where the minds were made up before tribal council and nothing was going to change. And I think even he knew that. He knew Abby Maria was voting against him, and there was just nothing he could do despite however hard he tried.
So now, shifting ahead into this upcoming week, do you think that there's any possibility things will be different at the Sancor tribe?
Well, I think from listening to you on other podcasts, you've come around to my way of thinking and believe that they will do another tribal mix-up down to two tribes.
I hope so, but I'm not necessarily sure if that's going to be the case this week.
Oh, okay, well,
I'm ready to do it, though. If it's up to me, I say pull the trigger.
I mean, it is interesting because they didn't have a, you know, next week on Survivor, drop your buffs again. I didn't see anything like that. Now, I haven't seen any of the other promos that would spoil that, but I would think by now, if they were doing it and they wanted us to know about it, it would have been out there enough that it would have wriggled its way into my mind.
We can safely say at this point, there has been nothing to indicate that's what they're doing this week.
Okay. Okay. They still could do it.
Doesn't mean they can't do it. It would be a blindside to us at that point.
Have they ever done a tribal swap / merge without announcing it on the promos?
I don't believe so. I don't know why they would be incentivized to do that, especially with the midweek sort of football promos that come out. I don't know. I mean, they're so bad at hiding things in those promos. Sometimes I just can't imagine the lengths that they would go to hide this from us.
Well, if that's the case, then maybe I have to change my prediction and flip over to your side and say they're going to keep it going this way.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to keep running it down. I think that it's going to probably be a battle between Wu and Abby Maria this week. But again, who knows? But that seems like that would be the, if we were betting men, that's where we would be going.
Yeah, that's what I would bet on. And I think Savage and Tasha vote out Abby Maria.
Abby Maria.
I think if it, you know, if the Anchor Tribe goes back, you know, Tasha can keep Wu in her back pocket. And they've already seen Abby Maria's unpredictability. So why would you keep her if you're at all thinking rationally?
Yeah, because you've seen that Wu is seemingly in lockstep with Tasha and with Andrew. So you got to think that those three are going to keep it together against Abby Maria. I think that Wu is the ally that you feel like could just move into that alliance. But do they say, hey, let's just vote out Wu here and then you can get Abby Maria next time?
Yeah, but maybe Tasha wants to keep Wu as a side alliance.
Yeah.
I mean, she was the only person to vote for him.
In Kageyan.
Yes. Sorry.
To win the game, yeah. And that could be much more anti-Tony than pro-Wu, but there definitely is a positive relationship there between those two.
Right.
Are you worried about this episode if it turns into Anchor battling Wu versus Abby Maria? Could that hold your attention for the hour?
I think it would be an opportunity to show some of what's going on the other two tribes.
You would hope so, but I feel like we're so underserved in terms of seeing what's going on in those other two tribes. We've seen those other tribes, I mean, since that tribe swap, what, for a total of like 10 minutes between the two tribes?
Right, which is why if it is Abby versus Wu, there's not much more to tell of that story. So maybe they use some of that time to visit the other tribes, get us caught up to date with them, and then just they go over and vote Abby off and there's not as much suspense, although they'll probably try to make it suspenseful.
Yeah. Plus those other two tribes get to sit out two people at the challenge. So now Abby Maria is going to be playing for them. Plus the other two tribes get to sit out their two weakest people. So it's the top four people from both of these other tribes going against the entire Anchor group.
Yeah, that doesn't look good for them, does it?
Doesn't look good for them in terms of a reward. They got lucky last week where Andrew just got to do the challenge for them. But we'll see how this is going to break for them. But it feels like more of the same coming up. And I'm starting to feel like that this might not be a great pre-merge if we're going to continue just to run this Anchor tribe back out there and get it down to, you know, I'd love the intentional Matt Singh. I think it's going to be fun, but I feel like that this is not going to be great TV to see this intentional Matt Singh.
No, it's not.
It's not intentional.
Right. But you got to wonder what the producers were thinking. They had to know that by sitting them at this beach with no food, no shelter, no ability to get food, that they were going to be weakened. And did nobody think, hey, you know, this might not go in a very interesting way?
I don't know. And again, I think that what they would say is that, well, you know, we make this ahead of time. So we got to figure out exactly, you know, how the season is going to be plotted ahead of time. We had no idea that Anchor was going to be this bad.
But that's what I'm saying. I think anybody you put there, or almost anybody, is going to end up this bad with not eating for as long as they have had no food.
Very fair point. Very fair point all around. All right. So we'll see what happens when we check back in a week from now. David, do you care to make any predictions about what happens in our next conversation a week from now?
Well, let's see here.
One of us will be very upset.
Yes, one of us will be upset. And I'm sorry, Rob, but I'm hoping it's you. I'm hoping to do a special podcast on why the Mets lost.
Oh, I will be demoralized next week.
I've had a century of demoralization, so, you know. Okay, not personally, obviously, but it's in the genes at this point.
Yeah, the Mets are up 2-0 at this point. So at this point where the Mets lost, I mean, coming into it, I felt like did not feel great about the Mets. I felt like the Cubs are super hot and the Mets had gone to the brink against the Dodgers. So I felt like that it was not going to be a great week for the Mets. I thought it would go down, you know, 6 or 7 games, which it still ultimately may. But I feel like at this point now to lose it when it feels like they have it in the grasp, it will be especially demoralizing. Does not mean it won't happen, but it would be very upsetting at that point. I could have dealt with it a lot better before they got to a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, I think you just described being a Chicago fan. they give you that hope and then it's pulled away from you. But yeah, I wanted the Cubs to face the Mets. Most Cubs fans I know wanted to face the Mets because we thought that would be an easier series. But the Mets have shown us that was just wrong.
Yeah, well, I think that the Red Sox fans would tell you, you know, if it's going to happen, if you're going to break a big curse like this, you're going to do it in a big way. So I think that that stage is set right now.
Well, I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so. They got to find those bats again in Chicago.
All right, David. Great job again. You can follow David on Twitter. He's at David Bloomberg on Twitter. We'll be back again next week to talk about why blank lost either Wu or Abby Maria, seemingly. But we'll be back next week to talk about it. Plus, we'll get back into it with our Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up on Wednesday night with Josh Wigler. We'll talk to the next person that gets kicked off the show this upcoming Thursday. And then we'll be doing our recap podcast with the great Teresa Cooper. One of the left out 11 will be joining me.
God, I wanted her on this season.
Yes. Yeah. She was right there. She was right there. But we will get her take on what she has seen as it's played out this season without her. And hopefully I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we'll get into all of your voicemails, plus our amazing race recap all coming up this week. Should be a lot of fun. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.